Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter has called for continued American boots on the ground in Iraq and Syria to defeat the Islamic State. Carter added that U.S. allies will need to contribute more to the fight.
We have a very specific plan, and if you think about it in World War II newsreel terms, you know, and arrows on maps, you should be thinking of an arrow going to Mosul, capturing Mosul, and an arrow going to Raqqa in Syria and capturing Raqqa, the so-called capital.
The Islamic State has established Raqqa as the center of its caliphate. Two former Burundian presidents have appealed to the UN Security Council to press the current government to accept an African Union-led peacekeeping force. VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir is traveling with the council delegation, which is meeting with all parties in Burundi's political turmoil.
The opposition is telling you that things are very bad here, and the government is telling you that there's not a problem. So I think a lot of what they've heard before, but they're here on the ground and they're feeling out people on a number of subjects, including on getting the country to move towards dialogue. I think that's really one of the big messages that the Security Council is here to deliver, that they want to press the parties to have a full and a real peace, to respect the Arusha Accords that ended this country's previous conflict. And they are really meeting all levels of society to try and convey that message and to hear from them.
Burundi's President Pierre Nkurunziza remained firm on Friday in his rejection of the AU-proposed peacekeeping force to help bring calm to his country. Election-related violence has killed at least 439 people since April, caused 220,000 to flee the country. This is VOA News. As the Chinese president arrives in Iran for a state visit, the U.S. says it hopes Beijing continues to work with Washington to ensure Iran does not reconstitute its nuclear capabilities. Xi Jinping is the first state leader to visit Iran since Tehran implemented steps to roll back its nuclear program. Two nations have maintained close economic and military ties despite sanctions that have been imposed by the U.S. and Western nations. United States and China are co-chairing a working group to oversee the new design of Iran's heavy water reactor so that it will not produce weapons-grade plutonium. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry called on the world's nations to redouble their efforts to solve the crisis posed by unprecedented numbers of war refugees, to help the victims of other global crises and combat the rising threat of terrorism at a fundamental level.
Now, the private sector, civil society, religious organizations will also be called on to help integrate refugees into host communities socially, academically, and through access to employment.
Addressing the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Secretary Kerry announced that President Obama will host a summit at the United Nations in New York later this year in response to the global refugee crisis. The goals would include big increases in the number of nations answering the UN humanitarian appeals and in those willing to help resettle families safely. United States has announced plans to have made 85,000 refugees by November and 100,000 next year. U.S. health officials have issued a new guidance for women who might have been exposed to the Zika virus, a mosquito-borne infection that can cause brain damage in a developing fetus. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning pregnant women to avoid travel to 14 countries and territories in the Caribbean and Latin America affected by the virus. Dr. Beth Bell is with the CDC.
Our growing concern now over the last short period of time is that a pregnant woman with Zika virus infection, that infection can be passed to the fetus.
CDC says there are no vaccines to prevent the spread and no drugs to treat those affected. Prices surged on global stock markets on Friday as the price of oil rose to its highest level in weeks. The gains came after Thursday's comments by the European Central Bank chief Mario Draghi that raised hopes for some additional economic stimulus at the bank's meeting in March. Oil prices rose above $31 a barrel, a change from the plunging prices that had badly shaken investors.
That's the latest world news from VOA. Well, hello again and welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. This is Russ Davis, your host, and you have just arrived at a birthday party for a very important jazz vibraphone master. Just named an NEA Jazz Master and turning 73 on the 23rd, Gary Burton. Yes, the master of the vibes with the four mallet technique, holding all four mallets in two hands. It's a real magic trick. And when you see him play, you know this is not something that just anybody knows how to do. Gary Burton certainly does at a high level and has for decades. Turning 73 on the 23rd of January, and in April, he will be inducted into the National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Masters. NEA Jazz Master Gary Burton on this edition of Jazz America, and he just happens to come from the state of Indiana, in the middle of the United States, the upper Midwest, if you will. Another very famous native of Indiana is a jazz master, the late great guitarist Wes Montgomery, and a 1959 performance at a place called the IJC, the Indianapolis Jazz Club, has just been discovered. It's Wes Montgomery on guitar as a guest of the Eddie Higgins Trio. Eddie Higgins, a great piano player. They played back in 1959. The tapes of the performance have only just now surfaced, and we have a chance to hear them for the first time. Here they are doing a song by another Indiana native, Cole Porter. You'd be so nice to come home to. Wes Montgomery from the album One Night in Indy, a fitting way to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America.
Once upon a time, before you, before I, before seeing sky, there was a boy, very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but wise was he. And then one day, one magic day, he passed my way. And as we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me, to me, to me, to me: the greatest thing that you will ever learn, the greatest thing that you will ever learn,
is the brilliant vocalist Nina Freelon from her 1996 release Shaking Free and her version of the great standard Nature Boy, preceded by another of the greats of jazz history playing a standard, Indianapolis, Indiana native Wes Montgomery from his new release One Night in Indy with the Cole Porter classic You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To. Well, Gary Burton has been setting a standard as a master of the vibraphone for decades, and it's landed him this coming April, as I mentioned earlier, in the NEA Jazz Masters Hall of Fame. Well, he hails from Indiana as well, and let's go backstage to the Blue Note in New York City, the famous jazz club, to have some conversation with Gary Burton and learn a little bit more about his Indiana roots and his possible association with Indiana native Wes Montgomery. We're backstage at the Blue Note between sets with Gary Burton, and if a knock comes upon the door and we hear it, that means his food is here. It isn't here yet, so I got a couple more questions for you, and then we'll let him go. Guitars and Indiana. Did you ever play with Wes Montgomery?
No, I never met him. Of course, the Montgomery brothers were based around Indianapolis, and I lived in the southern end of the state near Evansville. And I left the day I graduated high school. So I was a little too young to be going into clubs to listen to music and or heading up to Indianapolis on my own or that sort of thing. And over the next few years, I was supposed to be on a festival tour with Wes, something that George Ween had organized, and we were going to be doing events all over the United States. And just the week before the first concert, he passed away. So I never got to meet him or play with him or anything. It's just one of those Indiana legends, you know.
Yeah, Stanley Clark was going to do a gig at Carnegie Hall with Charles Mingus, and he died just about a month before that. Yeah. That's amazing.
I did get to play with Mingus a couple of times, actually, and it was an interesting and frightening experience both times. He was a scary character.
Well, as you heard, Gary Burton never played with Wes Montgomery, did play with Charles Mingus, and he's played with any number of the greats of jazz, as he's risen to become one of the greats of jazz himself. Not only an NEA Jazz Master now, but a multi-Grammy award winner. And he won a Grammy for this recording. Here's the title cut from his album, Like Minds, which featured a collaboration featuring Chick Corea, Pat Metheny, Roy Haynes, and Dave Holland. The title cut from Like Minds, Gary Burton on Jazz America from VOA 1. master of the vibes to a master of saxophone and big band arranging. Here's Bob Menser from his album Get Up with the song Elegant People. Well, that's certainly something that lots of folks have done over the years. Take the music of Wayne Shorter and turn it into their own work of art. That's his composition, Elegant People, that he wrote and offered to Weather Report, his supergroup of the jazz fusion era. That is Bob Menser. He's a member of another great supergroup of current jazz, the Yellow Jackets, and does his own work on the side as arranger and big band leader. Bob Menser from his Bob Menser Big Band album, Get Up, their latest, and Elegant People. Hope you enjoyed that here on Jazz America. More coming up with Gary Burton, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a pretty exciting message I've received from a longtime Jazz America listener, as a matter of fact, Oliver Kwanza from Ghana. And he wrote to me, Harpy Jazzy New Year. And I'll have to explain what that subject line is all about. Happy New Year, Russ. Trust all is well. Me and my colleagues here in Ghana want to invite you to the next edition of our Harps and Horns Gospel Jazz Concert on the 25th of September. We would like you to recommend a good young jazz musician to join us here in Ghana. We want to seek sponsorship from the American Embassy here to bring you and him down to Ghana. Our first option is Kyle Whalum, Kirk Whalum's son. Please advise how to do this. We want Jazz America here in Ghana. God bless you. Harpy New Year, Oliver Kwanza. Well, thank you, Oliver. That's a pretty exciting proposition, and we'll just have to see how things develop on that front. In the meantime, let's get into a couple of songs back-to-back that bring gospel and jazz together. First, we'll hear one of the artists that you mentioned, Kirk Whalum, from his Grammy-nominated release, The Gospel According to Jazz, Volume 3, and a song entitled Fit to Battle. We'll follow that with the great vocalist Bobby McFerrin here on VOA's Jazz America. Thank you. Versatile Mr. Bobby McFerrin. He can do everything from straight-ahead swinging standards to rock-flavored jazz to blues to, in this case, gospel. He also does a little classical music, too. As I said, the versatile Bobby McFerrin. From his album Spirit You All, blending a vocal presentation of jazz improvisation with spirituals and gospel music, that is Wade in the Water. Hope you enjoyed the great Bobby McFerrin. And speaking of versatile, Gary Burton is a very versatile player, too. Now, he's followed in the footsteps of Milt Jackson and Red Norvo and all the other great vibes masters that came before him, but certainly has set his own standard, too, with his unique styles that he has incorporated. Let's get a little bit of background from Gary Burton himself and then hear a song that features some of the young players who worked with Gary Burton in the early parts of their careers, folks like Pat Metheny and Peter Erskine and Mitchell Foreman and others. That's coming up, but first, the words of Gary Burton on VOA's Jazz America.
You know, tonight we heard a lot of different colors in the palette of your music. We didn't hear what we would have heard with Larry Coryell and the distorted wildness of the late 60s, but we did hear music that had a classical overtone, sort of the spatial aspect like the ECM music, you know, the Scandinavian sort of music. We heard classic standards, we heard bebop, and we heard Latin. What was missing in all the things that you love musically? It pretty much was all there, wasn't
it? That's a good portion of the range that I cover. I also like tango music a lot. We don't have any tangos in the repertoire, but that might come along, you know, as we go down the road.
As I was walking over here through Washington Square, I heard, you know, as only you can hear in New York, a band, a great jazz band, playing for free just out there with a hat down on the street. And there was a trumpet player, and he was playing lines that were just amazing, from do little 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 little. And I thought, I'm going over to hear Gary Burton. And he plays an instrument that can also go from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high in the octave. And it is such an incredibly versatile instrument, isn't it? Is that part of what made you originally choose to play this instrument?
Well, the credit goes to my parents, actually. I didn't choose the vibraphone. Uh-oh. I was 6 years old when I started because my parents wanted all three of us kids to take music lessons. And my older sister had already started taking piano lessons. So they looked around to see what the other options were. And there happened to be a lady in that town we were living in who gave lessons on the marimba and the vibraphone. So that's where I was taken, and that's what I started playing. And after two or three years, we moved far away to another part of the state, and that was the end of the lessons. But I just kept playing. I'd learned in that time how to read music, and I just kept buying sheet music from music stores and learning tunes, and finally discovered jazz when I got into my early teens, and then I got more serious about it. But the vibes of, you know, it was just sort of a happy coincidence that ends up being the instrument that really works for me. But there was no big moment where I said, that's what I want to play. By the time I was old enough to actually make that kind of a decision, I was already committed.
Thank you.
by guitarist Pat Metheny, who used to be in Gary Burton's band. In fact, got his first big break working with Gary when he was just a young guy. That is The Chief from the album Reunion, a reunion of some of those younger players who worked with Gary Burton in the early part of their career. Well, here is a gentleman who died this past September at the age of 83 and has left a wonderful musical legacy. Let's enjoy his last recorded effort, recorded live in Woonsocket, Rhode Island at the club called Chan's in August of 2014. It is saxophonist Phil Woods. From the album, Greg Abbate and Phil Woods with the Tim Ray Trio, Kindred Spirits, live at Chan's. Here's their version of Cedar Walton's song, Cedar's Blues, on Jazz America from VOA 1. late great Phil Woods on alto sax with Cedars Blues, his last recorded effort. More of our celebration of Gary Burton's 73rd birthday coming up. Stay tuned to Jazz America.